God's desire is for you to be one of those through whom God's kingdom, heaven's rule, is displayed. You see, the one desire that you and I have to recognize that Jesus has come to put in our lives is that he's saying that I want to administer the kingdom of God here on the earth. I want to use you to do it. And my plan for you is not to make you a rich billionaire necessarily. I'm not here to see, my greatest goal for you is not that you prosper in material wealth or in material things of this world. My greatest goal for you is to release that part of the kingdom of God on the earth that I have for you to release. Whatever that might look like. That is true prosperity. That is true success. To come to the place where we release everything that God desires. And who are we to decide what that might be? The only way we can decide is seek after God and say, God, what's your plan? What is it that you have for me? What is the purpose that you have for me to walk out upon this earth? Is it to be somebody in the eyes of man? Or is it to be somebody obeying your word? If we read the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, we'll have a great description of many of the principles of the kingdom of God that we are to live by. I haven't got time to go over them today. I thought I would, but we're not going to be able to go through many of them. But I really feel that the principles of the kingdom of God will help us in our reach our destiny. Last Sunday morning, we were talking a little bit. Stacy Campbell was here. And we were talking about the prophetic word and how important it is and how the prophetic word can release destiny into our lives. One of the things that I said was that the prophetic word does not only necessarily come from a prophetic voice, even the voice of another human being. The prophetic voice can come from the Spirit of God speaking to us. The prophetic voice can come from the Word of God reading it. And too often we take the prophetic voice and we don't listen to it. We set it aside. In other words, when somebody is doing some preaching and the Word of God is spoken, you know it's true. You know it's the Word of God, but you make a choice not to live by it. If I hear something that God is saying to me and I make a choice not to obey it, I'm choosing not to believe the prophetic voice, the prophetic word. Now, the difficult time comes, the difficult thing about that, hearing the prophetic word, is we often hear it sometimes through vessels that we don't necessarily warm up to, through vessels that might get under our skin. And probably, in most cases, we've probably heard more prophetic words really from God from our spouses than we have heard from anybody else. Now you're getting into meddling. The truth of the matter is, folks, in our lives, our spouses are generally speaking, it's a healthy marriage, they're speaking to us the Word of God many times. And it may come in just little sound bites. But when you hear something, you know doggone well it's right. And sometimes we choose to refuse to yield to it. Because if it's right, what we hear, one of the first things that we're often called to do is ask for forgiveness. And we often hold on to that. And yet, the prophetic voice is often telling us, forgive, apologize, make it right. Make it right. Don't let it go on. Don't let your home be saturated with strife and bitterness. Do something about it. This is a plan of God. The world might think they can get away with a home of strife and stress, but it doesn't work. You're paying a price even though you don't notice it at the time. You've heard me talk about getting a speeding ticket in Calgary and not paying it, and then in the most inconvenient time, got stopped one night and got thrown in jail for it. I thought I'd gotten away with it. I was living as I've gotten away with it, but the time came when I ended up getting arrested. And when we do something outside of God's teaching, God's word, it may seem like we're getting away with it. It may seem like I go out of the house and slam the door and say, hope you have a good day, and walk out in a real huff and think I'm getting away with it. And I might go through the day. Things might even look pretty good. could relatively have a good day. Maybe I accomplished a lot that day. I think it's okay. But sooner or later, that's going to come back to bite you. And if she won't remind you, somebody else will. Sooner or later, it'll come back to bite you. Sooner or later, living outside of God's will and God's plans and God's purposes, there's a price to pay. And so when we read in the Word of God the instructions that God gives us, it is so crucial if we want success in life. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Scripture says, shall be filled. If we hunger and thirst after being right before God, we'll make that a sacred thing, and it'll be a holy thing in our lives, and everything that we put our hand to, we'll have to judge, is this a righteous act? And I'm preaching to you folks this morning, and I'm trying to share out of my heart the things that I believe that God is calling us to. But although you may be hearing it, you're hearing it also for the next generation, because what you do today will put the next generation in a position whether, well, they will follow righteousness or not. There's a generation coming up behind us that knows little of righteousness, knows little of righteous standard. And it's up to you and I to speak forth the word of the Lord concerning a right. How are we living? How are we living? Are we living a righteous standard? Are we holding up? The Scripture talks about the scepter of righteousness being the scepter of God's kingdom in the book of Hebrews. It says his kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, has a scepter of righteousness. In other words, righteousness is held forward in everything you do. And I was meditating on that this week, and I thought, what would be a good example of a good guide of questioning whether we're always acting out in a righteous fashion or not? Even when it comes to the words of our mouth, how close we are coming to twisting the truth in order to have an advantage. And I thought, just take this decision, make this decision. In every decision you make, if you have a 5-year-old child or grandchild, what they hear coming out of your mouth, would it speak righteousness to them or would it not? When somebody asks you a question about something that could cause you to twist the truth just a little bit, think about a 5-year-old child standing next to you and hearing you and hearing those words coming out of your mouth, because they can tell. They can tell whether you're being truthful or not. They can tell. See, a little child, little children know whether we missed it or not. And we say things that we take advantage. We take advantage of situations by words that come out of our mouth that aren't wholly truthful. And we're setting the stage for the next generation that comes behind us. You see, righteousness is the standard of the kingdom of God. Righteousness is a standard of the kingdom of God. And we can declare that we have right standing with God because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that we can miss it in life. I believe that there's things that we don't tell the truth on. I believe that there's some areas that we sin in life and still make it to heaven. I believe that. Now, I don't know why you'd want to sin, but I believe that, you know, if a person is, you know, being addicted for something, for addiction, you know, I believe it's the result of sin and so forth. There's no question in my mind about that. But I believe an addict can go to heaven. You know, we pray for healing in this life, but if it doesn't, then they go. I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is bigger than that. But I'll tell you one thing, in this life, in the here and now, if we choose to disobey the word of God, if we choose to walk our own way, there can be a great price to pay in this life. I don't believe our reward will be what it could be over on the other side either. But if we choose to live outside the boundaries of the principles of the kingdom of God in this life, it is costing us tremendously in this life. It is costing the generations behind us. We are setting the stage for the next generation. in whatever we do. Whatever you make sacred in your life, your children are most likely, the possibilities of them making the same thing sacred will be tremendous. Whatever you make sacred, what I mean by that is whatever you honor, whatever you, if you walk in the fear of the Lord, your children are more likely to walk in the fear of the Lord. If every question that you, decision that you make is based on the fear of the Lord, your children will learn that. Oh, they might do their own thing for a while and so forth, but eventually the seeds that you've sown, it'll come back and they'll begin to take on your values. They'll begin to take and on your values, whether they're values of the world or whether they're values of the kingdom of God. And when they're in trouble, they'll know who to run to. But the kingdom of God, God has set forth some principles of his kingdom that will bring life to us in the here and now. But the choice is ours. Do we want it? Do we want to live by the kingdom principles? Do we make a choice to live by kingdom principles? The scripture says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. This is one of the reasons why we gather as a body of believers. The scripture says, you need one another. You need to be walking with one another. You need a place of unity. You need a place where you can come together with people of like faith. When Peter was in the prison and the angel released him, the Bible talks about him going back to the prayer meeting where he knew they'd be praying. He wanted to get together with the other people that love God and that were praying as well, people of like faith. It's so important to be gathered with people of like faith, because I believe the corporate anointing begins to come in. As we make the assembling ourselves together as a sacred thing, the more sacred we make it, the more we'll get out of it. The more holy we make it, the more we'll get out of it. Well, stand with me, please. In the scriptures, the prophet Amos was a farmer. He was called to be a prophet. He had to leave his farming career and to be a prophet of God. And he was a prophet that was called because of God's people. They were going their own way and wouldn't turn around. So God told him to prophesy judgment. I'm so glad we're living on the other side of the cross, because God is still calling his people back to himself. God is still calling his people to live by his principles, but he's not speaking out judgment on us. He's just saying, I set before you an open door. He's saying, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose this day which you'll believe. Choose this day. Choose life, he says. He said, I'm setting before you. Now, we're not talking here about salvation. We're talking about living a God-blessed life or living a meager life, just eking out an existence within this world system. And I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about enjoying life, enjoying the God kind of life. And if we'll choose his principles, I believe God's blessing will automatically fall upon us. I'm convinced of that. It won't show up like a Saturday paycheck or a Friday night paycheck. But in life, if we follow his principles, there's a payday coming and things start to begin to turn around for you, where you begin to enjoy life more than you ever thought you could possibly enjoy life. And he's here for you to do that. Now, Father, I just speak blessing over your people. I speak blessing, the anointing of God over your people, Lord. I'm convinced, Father, that they are a people after your heart, God. I'm convinced, Lord, that you desire to pour out your blessing, your anointing, your truth, your health, your wholeness, your healing, God. I'm convinced of that. And I'm convinced, Father, you have called us to be a people to establish the righteous kingdom of God here on earth, here on Prince Edward Island itself, Lord. And I thank you for the ministering angels that come to help us to carry out the duties of establishing the kingdom of God, first of all, in our homes, Father. In the name of Jesus, I speak that out in the name of Jesus, and I declare God's purposes in our homes, wholeness in our homes, healing in our homes, love in our homes, peace in our homes, in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for that environment of heaven coming into our homes, Lord. And Father, I ask, dear God, that you grant unto us revelation when it comes to dealing with things that would pollute the environment in our homes, that would pollute the environment with things that would hinder the presence of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your anointing on our homes to do this right now in the name of Jesus. Now, God, I pray, Father, that the blindness that the enemy has put over the eyes of the unbelievers would be removed. God, take the blinders off them, I pray. And Father, I ask, God, that you would grant unto us as a people a thirst to see the lost come into the kingdom of God, a thirst to testify about the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell others what Jesus has done for us. I ask, Lord, that supernaturally you move upon us, God. Lord, I just don't think we'll do it without you moving upon us. The job won't get done. I know it won't, Lord. So I'm asking, God, for you to pour that out upon us, God. Pour your spirit out in this area, God. Lord, there's too many conversations that we've gotten into and we never even thought about bringing up the state of the person that we're talking to. We all need Jesus. Help us, Lord, to stand in this place of recognizing our responsibility to get the message of the love of God out. Now, Father, I declare that these people are the head and not the tail. They're above only and not beneath. I declare that they have the favor of God upon them. I declare that they prosper in everything that they put their hand to. I thank you, Father, that your grace and favor flows on them continually in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that where jobs are needed, jobs are gotten in the name of Jesus. I thank you that our people have employment. I thank you that our open doors are coming to us to be able to walk into the destiny that you have for us in a greater measure in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we worship you, allowing you to carry away all the junk that we can throw off the weight that so easily besets us, that we might run the race that you have called us to in a greater measure in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. It's Tyler, isn't it? Yeah. I just believe that I looked over here and I felt the Lord said that the things that have brought you here are for my purposes. And that which has been moved in the natural to influence you are not really the natural at all, says the Lord. But I have moved and put within your heart a revelation of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. And with that revelation comes an acknowledgement of your need for him. Although the world would attempt to haul you and take you a different way, I've had my hand upon you all these years. I know every step that you take, and it is my heart for you to walk in the victory that I have for you, for I have had a destiny from the very beginning, and I open the door to it today in a new measure and a new way, that as you continue to call upon me, I'll call on you. I'll be with you. I'll call on you at times. I'll call you even in the night seasons, for it's my desire to speak things into your heart. When you hear, you will obey, because of the seed that has been planted and is growing even this day. Thank you, Jesus. I speak blessing for this man of God. I thank you, God, for your grace upon his life. Right now, you have shown, I just sense that the Lord has shown you much grace, much grace, much grace. I speak that grace, grace, grace upon him in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Sela kokoto. Okay, Lord, I'll tell them exactly that. I've just sensed that the Lord just said that this environment that we are in, if you will come with an expectation each time you come, with an expectation, this very environment will be so charged with His presence, His anointing, that people will begin to be influenced and they'll love to be in this environment. They'll just love to be. He will come. He will not disappoint, but He will release His presence in a new measure. If we'll come with expectation, come with expectation, come with expectation. How will you measure your expectation? The answer to that is, what will you tell your children? What will you tell your children? If you tell your children, let's go to the church today, it's Sunday, so we got to go to church. Well, that would be a pretty low expectation. But if you continually speak life to your children when it comes to the fellowship of God, if you, it's Sunday, we get to go to church today. We get to gather together with the people of God. Glory to Jesus. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you guys are feeling anything, but I just sense His presence. I do. He's in this place. Don't be in the middle of a move of God and miss the whole thing. Don't be in the middle of what God is doing and miss the whole thing. Make a choice. Make a choice to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, to be sensitive to what He's doing. Say this with me. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit. Breathe on me afresh and anew. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit.
Be with you, Lord. I want to be with you now. There's nothing quite like